We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, the book of Ruth, and chapter 3. And we shall consider this chapter as the Lord enables us this morning. The book of Ruth is not simply a story about two women, or a human love story about how Ruth and Boaz came together. It is that, but it's much more than that. It's part of God's word, God's revelation to man. And what is God's word all about? It's about the gospel. It's about Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, there's one message being proclaimed. And that message is the glad tidings of great joy that a Saviour has come into this world, Jesus Christ, and that you and I need to come to him, that you and I need to be in relationship with him. And if we come to him, he will receive us. And he will save us. The book of Ruth, like the whole of the rest of the scriptures, is proclaiming to us Jesus Christ. It's telling us that there's a wonderful Savior willing to save us. If we don't have Jesus, we will perish in poverty. If we come and marry Jesus, we will have rest and blessing forevermore. Jesus is the Boaz of the New Testament. Jesus is the great Goel, kinsman redeemer. Come to Christ today, and he will receive you. So first of all, we have here a concern for a loved one. Verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? My daughter, I want you to find rest. I want you to know real peace. I want you to be prosperous. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That rest can only be found in Christ. Christian parents, are you not saying what Naomi says here? Are you not saying this to your children? My daughter, my son, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Is this not your concern for your son, your daughter? Is it not your concern for your grandchildren? Is it not your concern for your brothers and sisters, for their families, for your relatives, for your friends? You seek rest for them. You want them to be at peace. You want them to be blessed forever. Shall I not seek rest apart from Christ? How poor we are. How lost we are. How homeless we will be forever. How miserable in a lost eternity. Terrible poverty, starving, perishing forever. But here there's love. In Christ, there's the greatest love ever. You and I, we've got to try and see people as God sees them. You see, we can be we can be so taken up with this life, so taken up with our families, with our work, with the school, with our health and strength and the activities of our homes and families and friends, that we forget that we are one breath away from heaven or hell. Any moment, you and I can die. And immediately we die, we are in an irreversible state. We are either in heaven or in hell, and there's no second chance. We've got to see our loved ones, our friends, our neighbours in that way, walking around, as it were, the rim of hell, and any moment the ground under their feet can give way and they fall into the everlasting fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The devil wants us to be sleepy. He wants us to drift our way through life. He wants us to be so absorbed with the cares and concerns of this world that we forget how near eternity is and how near absolute misery or absolute bliss is to us. Where are you today? Are you converted today? Do you have Christ as your Saviour? Or are you hanging by a fraying thread over the pit? Remember, we need to be married to Christ. He who has the Son has life. And he who has not the Son of God hath not life. Paul says, writing to the Corinthians, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Christianity, as I keep on saying, is not merely doing certain things, not merely believing certain facts. It's that. Yes, it's that. But it's vitally a relationship. It's being married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come here to this man Boaz. My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Boaz, our kindred, our relative. And there are certain duties required of the kinsman. Deuteronomy chapter 25 speaks of that. It talks about two brothers in the one house. One of them gets married, and shortly after his marriage, he dies and he has no children. And his brother then has a duty to take his wife, and the first son that is born to them will be the one who carries on the name of the deceased brother. The kinsman redeemer. It's a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our kinsman, who comes to redeem us, who comes to save us. Now, Boaz is the kinsman redeemer of Naomi and of Ruth. And you were with his maidens. You were getting to know him there, and you were seeing his kindness. You were learning something about him, and you were discovering how merciful and gracious and kind and compassionate, what a wonderful person he is. And of course, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? He's so loving, so gracious, so kind, so good. You can't meet a better person than Christ. He who was rich was for our sakes made poor, so that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. Tonight he winnoweth barley in the evening breeze. The animals, the oxen would be walking over the corn, and then with the evening breeze, the corn would be thrown up into the air so that the chaff would be blown away with the wind, and the grain would be separated. It would fall into a heap, and the grain would be separated from the chaff which was blown away. So, Naomi says, wash yourself, anoint yourself with perfumed oil, put on your best dress, and go down to the threshing floor and watch from a distance. Hide yourself. Don't discover yourself to him. And then when he's finished and when he has eaten and drunk, note where he lies. And then come quietly, uncover his feet, lie there, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Now to us this seems strange, doesn't it? And there's many commentaries, and when you read them about this, they're making all kinds of moralistic comments and commenting how wrong Naomi was and how wrong Ruth was to agree to doing this. But the Bible doesn't give us any condemnation of Naomi, and there's no condemnation of Ruth either. The Bible is presenting to us the gospel, and it's wrong for us to add our legalistic additions to it. Boaz was a well-known man, an elderly man, a very godly man, older and trustworthy. Ruth was a very virtuous woman. Boaz doesn't go into a bed, take off his clothes and go into a bed. He's lying there fully clothed on the heap of corn out at the threshing floor, away from the city, out in the fields. He's lying there guarding the heap of corn. The heap of barley would be vulnerable to thieves when it's all separated from the corn and the chaff, the straw and the chaff. And Boaz lies there fully clothed with a coat or a cloak cast over his feet, an older, trustworthy man. And here's Ruth, virtuous person. It's important for her to be able to meet up with him with nobody watching, nobody talking, to be able to talk personally and privately with him on his own. And here is her opportunity. Indeed, it's a lovely picture for us of the sinner coming to Christ. Nobody can take you to Christ. You can't go with somebody else, something that you need to do personally. You've got to get to the Lord on your own. It's between you and the Savior. You and him alone. That's the way it is. And you come with your proposal of marriage to him. That's what it's about. Have you come to Christ? Have you made a marriage proposal to him? Have you asked him to cast his skirt about you? Have you asked him to take you as his bride, as his beloved. So that's what we have first here then, a concern for a loved one. We have Naomi, deeply concerned to provide for Ruth. And that beautifully pictures for us the concern that parents, the concern that you and I have for those whom we know and love who are outside of Christ and who are in grave danger of eternal poverty, of hungering and thirsting and homelessness forever. Concern for a loved one. Secondly, duty required. Ruth could say, no, I'm not doing anything like that. I think I've done enough. I've come from Moab. I've come to stay here in Bethlehem. In fact, I've also gone out into the fields and humbled myself and been a gleaner in the fields, and I'm working, and I've worked so hard, and I've seeking to provide for you and me. I think I've done my bit. But she doesn't say that. We think of the man at the pool of Bethesda. There he was, paralyzed, waiting to be healed. Waiting for some magic to happen. Some angel to come, as very, very infrequently happened, and stir up the pool. And then if he could dive in first, he would be healed. For 38 years she's been lying by the pool. And Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. Put your faith in me. Look to me, trust in me, act. Get up, walk. Don't be waiting for some magic thing to happen. Don't be sitting there thinking, maybe one day I'll hear a voice. Maybe I'll see a light shining. Have you been like that? 38 years attending the Free Church and the Free Church continuing. And still today, outside of Christ, unconverted. You've heard it all. You've seen it all, and you're waiting. Maybe one day I'll feel something. I'll see something. There'll be a vision. There'll be a dream. A voice will be spoken from heaven. And then. But are we told in the Bible, sit around waiting for a voice, waiting for a light to shine? No, we're told, get up and walk. We're told, come to Christ. And we're told, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Don't stay, don't stop, don't wait. Act. Cry to him for mercy. Put your trust in him as your Savior. So here we have Ruth. Yes, she could stay where she was, but no, she agrees. She does exactly what her mother-in-law says to her. Verse 5, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. So she washes herself, she anoints herself with oil and puts on her clothes, and she goes down to the threshing floor, and she's watching from a distance as Boaz and his servants are involved in the winnowing of the barley. She's watching it all, keeping herself hidden away there, watching until the winnowing is finished. And then she sees Boaz having his food and his drink. And then when he's satisfied, when his heart is merry, when he's, yes, in a good mood and cheerful and joyful and not drunk or involved in any excess like that. That wasn't the sort of man he was. When his heart was merry, she sees where he lies down at the end of the heap of barley, there to guard the corn. He would be there all night, and she waits for a while, and then creeps up slowly to him. The same sort of picture as we have of David in the cave. Remember when Saul was uncovering his covering his feet. You remember how David came up quietly and cut the end of his robe there in the cave. So she comes, same words, softly, and she uncovers his feet, the coat that would be, or cloak covering his feet. She lifts it up and puts herself in under there at the bottom of his feet, lay down and waited. She comes to Christ. That's what's involved. We must come to him. Come in repentance. Come leaving the land of Moab behind, turning from our false gods, giving up our way of life, giving up our partial security in the widow's house in Bethlehem, and coming to the Lord Jesus, to the kinsman redeemer, and coming to his feet and casting ourselves at his feet, looking for mercy. Don't delay. Stop the excuses. Come today. Commit yourself to Jesus today. We believe as a church what the Bible teaches. We believe in the free offer of the gospel. Jesus Christ is freely offered to you today. Will you have him? Will you come to his feet, crying for mercy, and commit yourself to him and trust him wholly? He won't misuse you. He won't attack you. He is loving. He will receive you in a virtuous way. Cast yourself at his feet, and he will receive you and have mercy upon you. Thirdly, we see here the great reception that Ruth has. She comes, she uncovers his feet, she lies there. He's tired, Boaz. He obviously dropped off to sleep very quickly. But then at midnight, he turns. He feels something at his feet. He wakens. He's frightened. What's going on? Who's here? He wouldn't expect anybody to be there. And in the darkness, he peers. Can't see very clearly, but he can see a woman. Who are you? What's going on? And she says, I am Ruth, your handmaiden. I'm Ruth, your servant. Notice the humility. Notice how she comes humbly. I'm your servant, Ruth. But notice also how she claims him. She claims him. You're my kinsman. You're my redeemer. You're my Goel. You're the one to deliver me. You're the one who will give me hope. You're the one who will give me rest. Where can I find rest but in you? She comes and she casts herself at his feet. And is she rejected? Is she kicked away? Is she cast out and told, go away? You're just a poor woman. You're a widow. You're a foreigner. No, not a bit. What a wonderful welcome she receives. Whoever you are, you might think, well, I'm such a poor soul. I'm such an ignorant person. I'm such a great sinner. I'm just a harlot like Rahab. But whoever you are, whatever your sins, whatever your past, you're wonderfully received. You don't have to be anybody special. You don't have to do anything amazing. Just as I am, a sinner, a poor and needy sinner, I come to the feet of Jesus. And what a welcome! Him that cometh unto me, I will in no way cast out. None perish that him trust. None who trust in him shall perish. Notice what he says. Verse 10. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Your concern wasn't to have a handsome young man, poor, or even a rich young man. In a sense, there's a compliment here. You could have had a rich young man, because everyone knows you're virtuous. You're such a lovely, beautiful woman. You could have had all sorts of people. But instead, who do you come for? You come for your Redeemer, your kinsman Redeemer. You look to the Goel. You look to me, Boaz. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Everyone knows that you're virtuous. We can all see it. We know that you are a woman of integrity. You're not somebody to be thrown away. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, albeit there's a kinsman nearer than I. A great reception. Blessed of the Lord art thou, my daughter. By grace you and I are received. She had shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning. She had shown kindness to Mahlon. She was married to Mahlon, and she had shown kindness to him. And then when he died, she showed kindness to Naomi, great kindness, leaving her home and family and relatives and coming and looking after Naomi. And now she's looking to Boaz, to the kinsman, looking to him, not following young men, poor or even rich. She's shown kindness. She's coming to Boaz. Have you come to Christ? You will receive a great reception too. We think of Rebecca. Remember how Abraham sent his servant to Haran, to Mesopotamia, to find a wife for Isaac. And the servant prayed that the Lord would guide him. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And this young woman, Rebecca, came along. And it was so obvious that the Lord was guiding him to Rebecca. And he came to Rebecca's house and asked for Rebecca to come with him. And they wanted to delay him, and he said, no, 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 these things are far too important. The matters of the soul, they're so important. It's such an important matter that I'm on. Don't delay me. He wants to go early the next morning. And so they call Bethuel and Laban, call Rebecca and ask her, wilt thou go with this man? And she says, I will go. Wilt thou go with this man? Will you take the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you commit yourself to him? Will you leave all other relationships, as it were, and choose Jesus alone and commit yourself to him? In marriage, you take up with one man only. And Christ must have that first place. The unique one in our lives. Christ alone. Him and no other. Commitment to Christ. We see here then Ruth coming to Boaz and the great reception she has from him. Blessed art thou of the Lord, my daughter. And then finally, wait and see what the Lord will do. Fear not, verse 11, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there's a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. He swears, he makes a vow in the name of the Lord. It's not a trivial using of the Lord's name. It's a serious, solemn vow before the Lord and a very, very important matter. As the Lord liveth, I will do this for thee. Lie down until the morning. I will do all that you require. Christ does for us more than we could ask or even think. Or as it's said in the modern versions, more than you could ask or imagine. Christ is more and does more for us than we could ever think or imagine or dream of. Indeed he does. And it's better being a Christian than you could ever have imagined. She was a virtuous woman, and we must not criticize her in any way. No immorality takes place. There's nothing like that. There's not even a hint of immorality here. They lie down both fully clothed there until the morning. There's another kinsman closer in relationship. If he will do the part of the kinsman redeemer, good and well, but if not, he vows that he will do that part. Lie till the morning. They rose up before it was light. Let no one know that you have come here. Take your veil, and into his veil he places 6 measures of barley. And so she returns to the city. Her mother-in-law is waiting for her. Who art thou, my daughter? What's happened? How did it work out? She has great hopes, but she wants to know. She's very concerned. And she told all to her mother-in-law. And then she gave to her mother-in-law the barley, showing the kindness of Boaz to Naomi. And so her mother-in-law says to her, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. No delay. The Lord doesn't deal in delay. The Lord doesn't like delaying. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not 20 years hence. Today is the day of salvation. Commit yourself to Christ. And he will deal with you today. And he will do more for you than you could ask or even think. Be still and know that I am God. Some days ago, I was sitting in the study, troubled about certain things that were really bothering me. And this verse spoke to me again, as no doubt it's spoken to you from time to time too. Be still and know that I am God. Just leave it with me. I'll look after you. I'll look after it all. Trust me. Have I ever let you down in the past? There's nobody who trusts Christ who will say, I'm disappointed. You've let me down. All is well when you come to Christ. Will you come to Christ today? Will you make your marriage proposal to him? Will you give your heart to Christ? Doesn't want some of your money, doesn't want some of your time, doesn't want some of your works. It's only one thing that he wants, your heart. Will you give your heart to Christ? Let's pray. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou art gracious and merciful and loving and kind. We thank thee that thou art such a good God. And we thank thee that thou dost call us into such a wonderful relationship to thyself. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven looking for a bride for himself. And we thank thee that the new Jerusalem descended out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. We thank thee, O Lord, for this. Thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. Grant, O Lord, then, that we would give thee our heart and receive and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.